Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
With Ronan Rosner. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we ran a rerun last week.
I know.
And I was like, man, I miss Ronan. I like seeing you every week. I like when we work together and we do shows and we make it happen, right?
Well, yeah. Although for me it was, yes, I get to finish.
No, it's nice to have a day off.
Get home early.
You know what? Actually, to be honest, you know, Eddie and myself, we had the craziest weeks. The last 2 weeks have been super gnarly for me. So it was kind of nice.
Do tell.
You know, I'm producing a new artist. Mm-hmm. I won't say who it is yet, but producing a new artist, and I've just been super busy doing that. On top of all that, we played on KLOS on Friday.
Ooh,
which was awesome. We nice. Played on the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show.
Yeah, one of my favorite stations.
Me too.
Classic
and we
rock.
Actually, you know, the funny thing is we played on Heidi and Frank in between the window when they were on KLSX and KLOS. And so I emailed Frank, and I'm like, hey, man, I'd love to do the Stay or Go segment. Have you ever had a live band? He said, we've never done a live band. You should come in. I'm like, it's just going to be two acoustic guitars. We'll do it stripped down, make it easy. He said, great. So we did it like that, and it was so funny. The first caller was like, these guys got to go. They sound like a bunch of schmucks. And it was just like,
really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So we were just sitting there going, oh, my God, this is going to be the worst thing ever. And then the next six callers were all stay. And it was actually the most number of stays they've ever had on the show. And so they ended up having us play their end-of-the-year birthday bash, mm-hmm. which was awesome. Sold out the John Lovitz Comedy Club, and we played this huge party. It was awesome with three other bands, and we just had the best time. So I maintained this close connection with them.
Cool.
And I told them, I said, you know, I'm going to come on KLOS when we have like a big show in LA, and it makes total sense. Well, they've been pushing the Arroyo Seco Music Festival, which is this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I emailed them a couple weeks ago. I'm like, hey, it'd be awesome if we could come play live on the air. And they were like, oh, my God, we'd love to have you. It'd be amazing. Let's do it. And the coolest part is they had us play two songs. We played acoustic just the way we did them before. We did a little nod to Chris Cornell for Black Hole Sun on one of the tracks.
Oh, nice.
And we had this great interview with them. And then on top of that, they had us be judges for the Stay or Go segments for another band where the band was like calling on the air and they played two tracks and we all decided if they should stay or go. We of course voted stay because we've been in the hot seat before.
Oh yeah.
So it was just awesome. And it was just great because we totally reconnected and we were just shooting the shit and just having a great time. It was a lot of fun. But it's been, I didn't have any sleep the night before. So I went into the studio at KLOS on zero sleep. It was at the point where I worked till 3 or 4, and then it was like, what's the point of sleeping an hour or two and then having to sing on the radio? Because when you sleep, even for an hour, your voice will drop.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, I knew, I was like, okay, you know what, it's only two songs, I'll just stay up. So I just stayed up and watched TV, but I was so tired.
I
quickly got some coffee, and then we ended up having a great, great set, and it was
cool.
Just awesome. So.
Nice.
It was a little bit busy, and then it was back to work on producing this artist, so I literally haven't had a day off. I'm producing up until the wee hours of Wednesday, basically, or Thursday, I should say, and then I teach, and then we get ready for the festival. We have a band rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
We're still just getting everybody's schedules together, getting everything done. I still have arrangements to get like vans and stuff into the
wow.
festival, so it's just like It's gnarly. And for some reason, this festival, it's been an amazing experience just to see what kind of press has been going out and all the arrangements. And they've really gone above and beyond to make us feel extra special with how we're taken care of. So we have a dressing room. We've got all these like crazy treats and food. And there's a crew. And they just totally took care of us. So it's funny because we've never really, you know, had that much of that kind of treatment all the time. So it was really nice. But on top of that, the advance and all the details of the stage stuff, the input list, all that had to go out weeks ago, which I did and took care of. But it's crazy the amount of details that have to, you know, just had to be taken care of and, you know, catered to. But it's very exciting now. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Hey, you're living the life.
Yeah, you know what? And you know what? Next week, it's going to be kind of crazy. Next week, I'm flying to Minnesota. I'm doing a VIP tour of Prince's Paisley Park.
Ooh,
then wow. I'm flying to Chicago, possibly to play a show. And then Sunday, we open for Ziggy Marley at Summerfest. So it's just like this whirlwind. For about a week, I lived this like crazy life of a rock star and then come back to teaching and working and making tracks. But that's what I work towards. You know what I mean? It's like, it's definitely been a long road to get to this place, but it's been super fun. How was your weekend?
Well, it was good. You know, Father's Day.
Yeah. How was your Father's Day?
Pretty good.
Did your kids do anything? Like, do they make a little card for you or anything?
Of course. Cards and presents and stuff, little things.
That's nice. Yeah. Did you get the full on 5-star treatments?
None really. No.
No breakfast. Nothing.
No. I usually don't care much for that, and I had to work anyway. But get together.
But sometimes the little attention, extra attention.
Of course.
Just it not being just a regular day, it's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a really good thing. My dad was actually in New York, so he's like, "Let's celebrate when I get back." I'm like, "Great, thank you. That's perfect." So we're gonna celebrate when he's back in town. But yeah, happy Father's Day to all those dads out there.
Yep.
Did you do anything cool with the family, even for the small time that you had some time with? Did you get some extra hugs or some extra special treatment in that way?
Well, I mean, always. You know, my daughters are very, you know, daddy's girls. And we're very active as a family. We always go somewhere. So we always do something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you seen Wonder Woman yet?
No, but to be honest, I don't plan.
Why?
You know what? Maybe it's I'm getting old, but I'm getting tired of all those superheroes.
I saw The Mummy. It was this weekend. It was not the greatest movie.
Yeah, no.
Very bad.
I hurt.
Yeah. But I just wanted to go see a movie. I just wanted a break. It was my one day off.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday was my one day off, so I saw Ziggy Marley play at the Hollywood Bowl, which is awesome. Got a massage. Mm. I don't have any kids, but Otis is my boy, but I definitely treated it like this is my day
off. How old is he now?
He's 2.5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he actually, you know, he must have known something because he flooded me with some extra attention. So it was definitely a good time. We start a little bit late tonight, but it's all right because we have a special guest that took some extra preparation for. I'm very excited to have him here in the studio. It's the first time we've ever had a DJ in the house. He's actually sitting in with us at Arroyo Seco this weekend. It's one of the best parts of having him be a guest tonight. It's going to be well worth the wait. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Battleship, a.k.a. Cruz Martinez. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you doing, man?
Dude, I'm good. You made the long drive from Utah.
Yeah, definitely. It was 120, 125 out there in St. George. And
I didn't think it gets that hot out there.
Yeah, it was 115 in Las Vegas, I think. And it was crazy out there. Yeah, it was nuts. And you pull over and
you get out and you're like, oh, my God, how do you live like this? This is crazy.
Yeah, so it was definitely crazy.
Well, you made it. That's the hard part. I was like, man, just get here safe.
Yeah.
That's half of the battle. Just get here safe.
Yeah.
You excited to do this festival this weekend?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's probably the biggest show I've done so far. I did one last year with the Atmosphere and Snoop Dogg.
Wow.
And that was huge. And that was like about 50,000 people.
Wow.
So this one's probably going to be a little bigger than that.
It's supposed to be, the rumor is it's supposed to be 80,000 people.
Wow. Yes.
Which is going to be cool. But who knows? It's the first festival of its kind.
Uh-huh.
I know VIP passes have been sold out, and there's still tickets available, but I just feel like it's going to be an awesome experience because it's the first of its kind. It's like doing the very first Coachella, you know.
It's like there's
some great acts, and it's got a great vibe, and like there's, you know, for all those foodies out there, the other great part of this, which is like perfect that we're playing it, because I love going to nice restaurants. There's a lot of great restaurants like in LA, like good coffee shops, good fine dining restaurants, good food trucks, but it's like really gourmet stuff. And then they've got a bunch of cool stuff for the family set up that you're, I mean, I can't give away too much, but it's pretty exciting to see what's going to happen.
I think the last time I actually came out here, we're talking about the Jonathan Gold movie.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was a really good movie.
So one of the restaurants, Redbird, is going to be one of the restaurants at the festival. And there's another one called the Koji Food Truck. That's going to be at the festival as well.
That's
so
cool. I want to check those out. Definitely.
Oh, man. You're going to get the five-star treatment. It's definitely going to be pretty awesome. Let's talk a little bit about how you got into being a DJ and a little bit about your story. That's one of my favorite parts of interviewing talented friends of mine. So how did you get into being a DJ?
I don't know if you remember, and this is kind of like off the corny end, too, for a lot of people who are probably listening that are really into music, but Sugar Ray, I don't know if you heard of Sugar Ray.
They had a
producer DJ named DJ Homicide. He worked with Alcoholics. He did a lot of scratching and turntablism back in the 90s. And during that time, I was listening to the radio, and I would hear him cut and scratch. But I didn't exactly know what was going on until I saw like Run DMC play on Reading Rainbow. And I was just like, oh, man. Like,
how old were you?
Oh, man. I had to have been like 9, 10 years old.
Damn.
And I was just like, I want to try that out. I want to get into that. Then obviously, like, you know, from Run DMC, you go to Beastie Boys. It's a pretty good transfer.
Mixmaster Mike is one of the best DJs I've seen.
And I started watching him in the, you know, early 2000s and Z Trip and all that stuff, and I was just like, man, these guys are just murdering it, and I want to get in on that, you know. And so that's kind of how I got my start when I was a little kid. So
that's amazing. Did you ever see the movie Juice?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Do you know this movie, Ronan? Juice?
No.
It must have been like, I want to say it was probably like 94, 95. Tupac Shakur is in it. Omar Epps is the lead. And it's actually about a bunch of DJs that get into a bunch of like trouble. And some of the scratching scenes are unbelievable. I mean, they're so dope.
Yeah. I've seen a scene from that movie, I think, where they're like in the club.
Yeah.
Scratching back and forth. Yep. And
So that scene made me want to do to be a DJ.
Yeah.
And I had an old record player and I would try to do it. And I was like, man, I don't have it. I don't have, like, you know, when you have the, like, the you know, the path is laid, you know, a little bit ahead of you. Like, you have to really know what you're doing. But it's always been a sound that I've loved.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a little story about meeting Cruz. So Cruz was one of our opening acts at Sundance. We play Sundance last like 3 or 4 years. And so I think, I don't even know who it was that introduced us, but it was one of the hosts of the event, I think.
Somebody just like said, like, the band needs an opening DJ. And then like he brought me downstairs to you. And then you're like, hey, man, like,
we started talking music.
No,
I remember.
I remember you're like, hey, man, like, I don't want you to DJ. Like, I mean, unless you like have turntables and scratch. And I'm like, well, you're in luck because I have turntables and I can scratch.
No, I asked you. I was like, I remember. I was like,
or something like that.
Yo, man, I was like,
so
yo, can you scratch? You know, and I kind of gave you like this kind of like, yeah. Are you a real DJ? Or are you like one of those guys that push the space bar?
I remember that like conversation, that feeling. And then I remember like you were just like freaking out. Like, oh, man.
I was
like,
freaking out.
You're sitting in with a band. You're playing with us.
Because he got up and he's like, yeah, man. And like, you know what? I saw how confident he was when I asked that question. He's like, yeah, man, check us out. And I, like, before he even started, you don't know this, but I read people. And like, I kind of like observe. And he got up and just slayed. Like, just, I mean, it was, I was like, I've been waiting for that sound in my band for years. And so I'm like, you're sitting here with the band, we got to make this happen. So we ended up doing these really cool breakdowns and doing all this cool stuff with the band, with the drums, and like the band didn't, half the guys didn't even know that we were going to have this DJ sit in with us. And it went over so big with the crowd at Sundance and even with the band, that I'm like, you're playing with us every year. Every year we do Sundance. This is going down. He was like, great. And so when we started planning for the Arroyo Seco, I think you shot me an email. You're like, hey, man, any room for a DJ? And I'm like, hell yeah. Because our LA audience has no idea that we've ever played with a DJ. And they're not going to see this coming. I'm like, definitely. So we've got some special guests playing at Arroyo Seco. And Cruz, you're one of them. All right, so you're 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
You want to become a DJ.
Uh-huh.
Then what? Did you buy your first turntable? Like, so how did you go about this?
What happened is, like, I broke open my aunt's CD player and tried to scratch on that because I thought, like, that's how you do that sound. And I just got her pissed off, and she got pretty mad. And obviously, you know, I didn't get grounded because it's my aunt, you know, and I could just tell my mom that she's lying, you know. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so I think I turned about, like, 14 or 15, 16 years old. You know, I was kind of, like, really into Grandmaster Flash. And the way he mixed soul and funk music, you know what I mean, all over the place. And I was just like, wow, this is really good. And so I kind of decided from that point, like, I need to save up and buy turntables. But, like, I don't know where to buy these at. Like, I'm out in the middle of Utah. I don't know where do I get these at.
And that's not even a scene for that, like, which is crazy.
Yeah, and this is going to sound ancient, but, like, I actually went to Circuit City. The only one, like, that's in Utah. Awesome. And it's in Riverdale. It's, like, maybe, like, a two-hour drive from, like, my house or whatever. And I see, like, this, like, setup over there for sale. It's, like, an Ion turntable and mixer setup. It's all, like, two turntables and mixer, like, for $200 or whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I fly to Phoenix. I'm taking my my driver's ed test. I'm trying to get, like, my hours logged in. So I'm going down to Phoenix and learning how to drive in Phoenix or whatever with my dad. And then I tell my dad, like, hey, Dad, like, if you need chores done around here, you know. And I haven't been, like, really close to my father. So it's like, hey, like, I'll do, like, all these crazy chores. I need $200. Like, I want to buy some turntables. And he's like, well, okay, we'll do this, you know what I mean? So I flew back.
That was cool of him to do that.
Yeah, so I flew back, you know, got the $200, whatever, you know. And then I think I even saved up some from when I used to work at the rodeo stands and stuff. I used to sling popcorn and stuff. And then, yeah, I just bought a ton of records at Hot Topic.
And then what, do you just, like, practice against tracks?
Yeah, I started I was in high school, and I had a girlfriend. Her name was Trish, and she was really cool, like, rock girl and stuff like that. And she supported my DJ thing, and so she would buy me records and I'd buy records. She would buy me a bunch of hip-hop records, I'd buy rock records, and she'd buy me rock records, I'd buy, like, funk, you know what I mean? We'd go back and forth, and I'd mix them all together or whatever. And then, like, I would make these, like, little mixtapes, cassette tapes, because, like, everybody that had a car in high school had a cassette player in 2006.
Yeah.
And so, like, I used to just hand them out to my friends and everything like that, back and forth. And then all of a sudden I was playing college parties. I was doing, like, all these, like, cool little things. And I started,
in high school?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I started playing 21 and over clubs when I was, like, 18, 19 years old, you know. And then, like, they started sneaking me into places and everything. And it was the craziest thing, because all I had was vinyl, you know what I mean? Like, I just, yeah. And I still have a lot of vinyl and stuff. And so, and the scratching part came more overtaking, because it was just, like, something that I did that was fun to do, and I just loved doing it. It kind of, like, you know, it reflects, like, how I feel about myself sometimes, you know what I mean? So I could put on, like, a sad track or whatever, you know what I mean, and do some nice little cuts or whatever, or something else like that, you know what I mean? And it's kind of got a jazz aspect to it that I really like. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Herbie Hancock.
Dude, I love I played with Herbie Hancock, man.
I don't know if that's a good question to ask any musician.
No. I love Herbie
especially
Hancock.
Especially Nicky.
Yeah. Yes.
But his combinations, and even Bernard Purdy, the drummer, you know what I mean? Those note shuffles are just insane.
It's magic, dude. Yeah. It's totally magic.
I respect that to the fullest, and I try to emulate that when I DJ.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't even want to. Let's show them what you got. Okay. Let's just get to it. What are you gonna? We're gonna have you scratch against something right now. Okay. What track are we kind of? Well, you know what? Just do your thing. You just set it up.
Yeah, if we're playing, let's do it live.
Let's do it live. Here he comes, DJ Battleship.
I'm feeling
Was fire, man.
It was.
Damn. You know,
I never seen that up close.
It's unbelievable.
I only see it in like videos and stuff, but you see it up close. And the thing is, he's got one hand on the turntable doing the scratching thing, and the other one on this console. What are you controlling? Is
this
like
is a
volume?
So it switches back and forth between the track.
Oh, okay.
So when there's nothing playing on this side, it'll switch to not. I sound British.
No, but, yeah, it's awesome.
But it's pretty much it just switched over to nothing. So I'm cutting and editing right here with rhythms and patterns. And then I'm just doing a pitch up and down right here. And so back and forth.
Yeah, and you should see him moving his fingers. I mean, ladies. You got potential here. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is, so are you listening? I'm gonna totally interview you.
Okay.
Are you listening to the feed that you're kind of doing before you even releasing, like, what other people are going to hear?
In the headphones. Yeah, it's called cueing. And so, like, I guess, like, what it is like, editing last second, I guess, in a producer's sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, you can hear something and then the band can't. You know what I mean? You would say, like, okay, well, we need more guitar. We need more this. Do this again, you know? And they can't hear what you're listening to. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so pretty much last minute or whatever, like, when I decided to put a track on or scratch or whatever, you know, with the headphones. Obviously, I was just doing this here with the... listening to what I was playing, but like, when the DJ does that, like, they hit the cue button and pretty much like tells you where you're at in the next track, so you can kind of find like a good spot. You know what I mean? Find like a good place to, you know, put a music in or whatever, or scratch, and make sure your levels are good too at the same time. So,
well, it's just like, what's crazy is it's an amazing amount of coordination. I mean, all instruments are like that too.
Yeah.
But what's really crazy, it really takes this, you know, tapping your head and rubbing your belly to the max. I mean, it really does, because you're not only having to improvise, you're also trying to produce something that is really kind of noteworthy, you know, in the sense of like creating a solo.
Yeah.
And it's also got to be rhythmic. It's got to be in the pocket. And man, it's just unbelievable. Every time I see you perform, it's like fireworks.
Oh,
and you know, like, I, you know, he came and stayed with me, what, 6 months ago, 4 months ago, something like that.
It was like April, I think.
April. Yeah. And we did this whole setup in my music room, and I was just like, this is such a dope way to experience making music, you know what I mean? So he was showing me, like, and let's talk a little bit about these vinyls, because, you know, a lot of DJs used to mix on old vinyls.
Yeah.
But you have this, it's a clear, it almost looks like a clear, transparent CD, and it looks like a record, but it's, like, tell us what's on it, or,
well,
like...
So, this is a company called Serato, and pretty much, like, what they started to do, like, they're not, like, I don't think they're the first to make computer-controlled vinyl setups or whatever like this, but pretty much what this is, it's actually a real vinyl. This is a real vinyl disc, and it plays a radio signal that my computer picks up, reflects it back and forth. Like, you know, so like it shoots into the computer recognizes it and it shoots an MP3 on here.
That's crazy. Format,
MP4, videos.
Wow.
Stuff like that, you know what I mean? And it's not like this is expensive, you know what I mean? This is just playing the tone. So you can put that tone anywhere, like on a tape deck. The computer's going to pick it up. The technology's all in the interface right here, which makes that possible. From what I understand, I don't quote me on this. Hopefully, there's no DJs listening. Like, oh, hey, that doesn't work like that.
No, he just noticed that. Yeah. You know what? I can guarantee most 90% of DJs out there are like, wait, what was that? They're taking notes, man. They're taking notes. Yeah. They can't do that.
The show will be uploaded soon.
That's
so you
right.
can download and
that's right.
Replay it.
Yeah. I definitely do. I have a bunch of vinyl, so I still collect vinyl like crazy. I was out here at Amoeba the other day, and I was just like going through. It's amazing out here. You know what I mean? Like, when you live
Amoeba's the best, man.
When you live in backwoods Utah, like, you know, you got country music, and you got like the occasional, you know, like
yes, I know,
like James Brown, you know, record, or you got like the occasional.
But here you got everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Roy Ayers. I don't know if you know Roy Ayers.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
He's playing this festival that we're playing on Saturday. He's like an old 70s, kind of like a soul artist. And, you know, like, that's an artist that you wouldn't find at every record store, but you'll find his whole collection at Amoeba.
Yeah.
Things like that that I'm sure you savor when you come out here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I kind of look around and I check labels too, obviously, you know what I mean? There's, I think, a Starbound label or something like that that I always check through. It's some records, like, I kind of look at them and I look at the art on them, and I just buy them just because of the art, you know what I mean? And I think that's, like, how I, like, got into Judas Priest, because, like, the Defenders of Faith album had that huge tiger, like, attacking something or whatever, you know, and so just, like, different kinds of records or whatever, you know. I won't buy a record, you know, just, you know, because it's, like, really expensive sometimes, you know what I mean, because I know I can get it somewhere for a dollar.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it's good to go to thrift shops, you know what I mean, just in general, because, you know, some things that, like, people give away, like, you might be like, oh, man, like, I know how to work this, I know how to use this, I can make more use out of this. And, you know, that goes with anything in life. I mean, like, whatever you're passionate about, you know what I mean, you can see tools in, like, the world, you know what I mean, that you can apply yourself to, so...
It's wild. And you know what? When he was showing me this, like, this kind of a clear, it's a real record, but it, like, the way that it transports MP3s and videos and stuff onto that and transmits sound, I'm like, kind of fascinated by, because, like, you know, a record, the record, like, the records I know, like, the record player I have at home, I've got grooves on them, and I can't play anything else on that record.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what's crazy.
And he's using a regular turntable, record player. It's just a standard, right? It is standard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So you just put a regular record that vinyl, the black vinyl, will play.
Yes.
And he puts that disc, and finally, and suddenly it transforms everything. And that's an analog device.
Yes.
You know, connected with the RCA to that console. It's,
see, Brunette, I bring the best to you, man.
I know. I'm,
No, he's
talking about gadgets.
And DJ Battleship Cruise, you're like one of my favorite artists because you're constantly innovating and constantly doing stuff. I see these YouTube videos of him playing with other DJs, scratching.
Yeah.
Like, and let's talk a little bit about your accolades. I know you're a very humble dude, but it's pretty amazing some of the stuff that you've actually been winning. You've been winning some contests. Let's talk a bit about that.
I haven't won anything crazy lately, but I did get nominated 4 times in a row in Utah for the best DJ in Utah. Which is crazy to me because, like, I actually lived even further away from, like, the city folk, too. You know what I mean? And I still won that, like, you know, I didn't win, but, like, I got, like, nominated in the competition.
That's amazing.
Got pretty close. Like, I came in, like, second place, like, every time or whatever. And it was all based on, like, the crowd that you bring out. And so...
That's stupid.
And, like, yeah, like, I brought, like, 14 people with me from, like, you know, Huntsville, Utah or something.
That's what I hate about Battle of the Bands. It's like... Shouldn't be based on, like, oh, this person brought 40 people and this person brought 6, but the person that brought 6 is 9 times better than the other person, but the other guy wins, or girl. Mm-hmm.
But City Weekly, obviously, and another shout-out to Colin Wolf from City Weekly. He actually works for Orlando Weekly now in Florida. He actually spotted me. I used to go play at Urban Lounge out in Salt Lake all the time, and he would just, like, him and a few other DJs, I think it was Chase 1-2 and Godina, were just like, yeah, this guy needs to be up there, you know, playing every year. You know what I mean? He needs to be in this competition. You know, he's a really good battle DJ, and... I battled this other guy named Scratchmo. I beat him unanimously 3 rounds. I went to the DMCs. Didn't do too good, but I didn't do too bad, you know what I mean? I entered the Red Bull Freestyle this year competition, and pretty much what that is just like a party rock competition for DJs. And, yeah, I mean, battling is pretty fun to do, and I think if you're an artist, I think it's good to, like, kind of battle yourself. Like, be 2 people at one time.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, compare yourself and then maybe even, like, you know, take notes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to criticize yourself is, like...
The funny thing is, like, I've been looking for Cruz for, you know, like, for a long time. I've always loved that sound. Sublime was probably the biggest band in my life that introduced that sound to me. And I was always thinking, man, it'd be so dope to have musicians and a DJ all in one band, but do it in even more cooler way with more stuff going on, like more funky stuff, more horn stuff, more, you know, draw from different influences. And it's like, now we get to do that on Sunday. It's so nuts how the universe works. It's like, you know, when I met him and I saw him scratching, I was like, universe, you are too good to me, because this is who I've been looking for so long as this entity of the band. And the craziest part is nobody in LA has seen us play with Cruz, and I'm so excited. Like, people are like, "What do you have in store?" And I'm like, "Oh, you're gonna see a show like you've never seen in LA. We've never brought this." And the funny thing is, we have a horn section playing with us. We have some other special guests sitting in with us. So this band that's playing, you know, NK Band, we're playing at the Willow Stage, 150 to 240 on Sunday. But a big part of this feature is having Cruz and DJ Battleship, you know,
yeah.
a part of this, because it's just a sensational thing. I want to get to another track because I want to see this again because I never get tired of it. All right, what are you going to spin for us next?
I got a track produced by a guy. He goes by Chris Santos or DJ Flow. And I don't know if you guys know Mobb Deep at all.
Yeah, of course. I know Mobb Deep.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's his name just passed? Prodigy from Mobb Deep just passed away today.
Oh,
and
man.
So, yeah, and so this is
R.I.P.
This is a track that he did. It was a remix of a song called Keep It Thorough. And it's kind of like in breakier, breakbeat, up-tempo, like pretty good anthem or whatever. So, yeah, let's play this.
Let's hear it.
Maybe just add some cuts to it.
Crazy is like I've seen you DJ a couple times.
Yeah.
But you did something I'd never seen you do. You had one finger kind of slowing down the record as you were scratching, and it made this cool, cool sound.
Right? I know that at the beginning, right?
Dude, that was so bitchin'.
For example, I wasn't sure if it was from the backup track, or is this he's doing it, but...
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys can slide your finger across the surface right here, and it kind of makes that little... Like, you know, like when you slide your finger across, it kind of... So like that'll play on the record too. Like it'll stop and pause the record, and so like it makes that like.
Yeah, no, but it's like it's so percussive. That's what's crazy. It's like so badass because there's so many different sounds to make it. Like it's like very tribal, you know. But it has this modern, you know, edge to it. Like this craft hasn't really been around for that long. I mean, it just hasn't. You know, guitar's been around for at least a century.
Yeah, a lot of
this is not that old. You know, so what's cool about it is it's kind of constantly being, you know, innovated. I want to ask you a question because there are a lot of people that quote unquote DJ.
Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm about to ask, I'm sure.
I don't know yet.
But when you see those DJs that just push a space bar.
Yeah.
How does that, like, does that piss you off a little bit? Because it's got to, I would be pissed if I was you, because you're such a talent to this craft. And, you know, most DJs put together a beat on a computer and then push the space bar and then they wave their hands up in the air. And that's bullshit to me.
I kind of see those DJs, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of kids out there that buy, like, you know, the $100 little DJ set or whatever, you know, they go out and play clubs, you know what I mean? They go around, undercut DJs and do those kinds of things. And, you know, I don't get too upset at the people who are, like, really good producers that do that. I mean, because obviously, you know, there's DJs out there that, like, you know, are like me, that, like, are very critical on people and, like, real DJing and, like, keeping the art alive, you know, and that's great, like, if you want to get into it, you know what I mean?
Right.
At the same time, like, I mean, a lot of these kids that are, like, you know, killing these shows out here and are pushing space around a laptop actually produce those tracks and did a really good job.
Right. You know what I mean? Dude, that's noble of you. Because, I mean, they can't do what you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, and I don't think any lesser of them for it, just because of the fact that, like, you know, like, they make some really good music sometimes. They put together some really good mixes. You know, they collaborate with some, you know, live musicians, you know what I mean? And if anything, like, you know, they're, like, it's almost like the producers are sipping out of the studio and being like, okay, like, let's put on a cool light show. And this is how a master track is supposed to sound. You know, or
right,
something like that.
Right,
Which is great. I think that's kind of cool, you know what I mean? I'm just kind of super bitter about, in general, when it comes to DJing, that people aren't really pushing the art
forward
with, like, you know, what they can do, like, with those controllers, you know what I mean? So, like,
right.
I want to see some cool stuff, you know what I mean? And I want people to also rock parties or whatever. But I also want to see, like, them come back to turntables or even go further with a guitar or, like, even bring, like live instruments to their sets or whatever, you know, and do whatever they can to evolve what they have, you know what I mean? Because They are a lot of them are producers, a lot of them, you know, they aren't producers, you know. If they had a good set, they had a good set, you know what I mean, really. And even though I have turntables, like, these are heavy, you know what I mean, I lug them around, you know, but, like, even though I have these, you know what I mean, I don't hate on somebody that has whatever. I can't find it. There's a lot of DJs that do though, definitely. It's like a hot topic, like, in the forums, you know what I mean,
like, all the bitter DJs, like,
you go on Facebook, man, and there's just like, oh man, like, there'll be some kids,
people hating,
rocking on a controller, killing it, you know, producing, you know, just, you know, showing off his cool talent or whatever.
Well, you know what, the funny thing is, like, Mixmaster Mike played a concert when I was in college, and I saw him scratch, like, just the way I'm looking at you, and it's such a magical, it literally is like a magical experience, because you realize, oh, this is not your average wedding DJ. You know what I mean? It's not like your average party DJ. Yeah. This is somebody that actually is taking the craft a step forward. And so that was, like, my first introduction to that. Mm-hmm. And I've always loved the Beastie Boys. We actually played Bonnaroo with the Beastie Boys for their last show. So I got to see them doing their thing for the last time they ever played.
Yeah.
And that experience, coupled with the first time I ever saw Mixmaster Mike, it really made me want that sound as being a part of the band. But the funny thing is, these days, you don't find a lot of DJs that take that kind of meticulous detail into learning the craft the way a DJ like yourself does. So I find, you know, putting together a beat, that's not that difficult. Tons of people do it. But doing what you're doing, you're actually using it as an instrument that's improvisational.
Yeah.
And that, to me, separates the you know, men from the boys, so to speak.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like if you look at musicians, you got your average musician, they will, you know, write a song, you'll use the same progression, you know, 1-4-5, right?
Right.
Of chords, and then you got someone who introduces a lot more melody and things are more sophisticated.
Yeah.
So, you know, but unfortunately, sometimes the sophisticated stuff doesn't succeed while the simple thing, you know, goes and sells millions.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you can, yeah, unfortunately, when it comes to taste of, you know, people and crowd, you can never know.
But it's, you know, it's the perception. You know, the big thing is, like, you know, I think people, when they see a DJ, there was something I noticed too, like, when you opened for us at Cicero's. And man, you were throwing down the coolest grooves and the coolest beats. And I watched some girl walk up to you and just, like, give you a request.
Yeah.
And, like, you are so cool about it.
Yeah.
I would have flipped my shit. Because that's the thing. It's like people think you're just a wedding DJ or you're taking requests. And it's like, really, that's not, like, you're sculpting an atmosphere. Like, yeah. And you know what? You know, like, if I'm at a wedding and I play a wedding gig, I know that's what I'm supposed to do. Like, oh, you want a request? Sure, I'll play what I know. But most of the time, people don't know. Like, it's kind of like going up to a great chef and saying, can you cook McDonald's?
Yeah.
Can you give me some McDonald's fries or a McDonald's cheeseburger? When they're, like, trained in this craft to do something great. So it's like the perception is, you know, that's what I kind of want to shift in how people see artists on any level. It's like you have to know when something's good from great. And Cruz, you're definitely great. Like, it's very rare for me to be impressed, but I'm always impressed with what you do. Tell us about this experience, just, you know, being a DJ in Utah and kind of, you're coming here to California. Yeah. This is a really big deal for me.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what you're feeling just like playing with us and playing together and doing this festival. It's because I'm super excited.
It's exciting, man. Definitely. So being a DJ in Utah is a pretty tough thing for me. I haven't been on any radio station in Utah. I've never been.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, I've never been like featured on anything. Like I hardly talk to anybody out there really. But they know who I am and they accept me and they're just like, okay, cool, yeah, here's Battleship. You know what I mean? And he kills it and they tell people about me and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But I think it's because I live really far away. At the same time, you know, I've always had a hard time out there in Utah, especially like.
Well, the market's weird.
Well,
it's country. It's a country dense market.
It's not even country where I'm at. It's more jam bands.
Okay.
Of where I am.
Really?
And, it's very interesting because I had a huge beef with like these live musicians for a while, and they would come to my gigs and like that one of them threw like water on my equipment. And
really?
Yeah, it was the craziest thing, and I just tried to be as cool as I could with him, and you know. I bought this guy, like, you know, a case of Bud Light, you know what I mean? And I was just like, hey, man, like, you know.
You're like, easy on that shit. Yeah.
So the question is, and tell me if I'm going, you know, going too far with it, but if it becomes too personal, so why don't you move to L.A.? Why don't you move?
Yeah, I don't know. The question.
Where the scenes are. Yeah. You're like New York. I don't know. I'm not into club scenes, but I mean, just.
Oh, our studio audience loves that.
I mean, you obviously have the talent.
Pressure's on.
Yeah.
So you know, it's gonna be. I am trying to move out here. I am trying to like because I actually grew up in Santa Cruz when I was a kid, and I loved it out here. I used to you know leave this old house you know and pick oranges. You know, the migrant workers would give me strawberries on the way to the bus stop. You know what I mean? And you know, I used to go to school and just you know like have a good time. And, you know, there was a lot of kids that looked like me. You know, and in Utah, there was definitely an uphill
culture shock.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there was a lot of racism in Utah. There is, you know what I mean? And the worst thing about it is that the people that are there, that they don't notice it. It's just they're blind to it, you know what I mean? It's the weirdest thing. And I love this place. I really do. And so I would think about moving here. I've been thinking about moving here for like the last like 2 years. And I was going to try to come out in October or maybe even like, you know, November, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just need to make sure that I have enough, you know.
He wants to make sure that festival life with NK Band is going to be important.
I want to make sure I get some good gigs out here. I want to make sure I can, because the thing is like, you know, you move to a new place, and this is kind of like what I'm kind of imagining is that I have to do some shows that are free, you know what I mean? I have to do some things to get my name out there here.
Yeah.
So I have to have enough overhead, you know, like obviously, you know, pay rent. At a place, you know what I mean, you know, and you want to make sure that, you know, you make money doing what you love, you know, and make sure you have a good job lined up or something like that. So I want to make sure that I'm pretty set on the ground. And I'm also kind of like, California is a big place.
Yeah.
And there's so many places to move to, you know what I mean? So, and I would love to come out here and kill it in the scene and just like bring together some musicians, you know, some, you know, DJs, you know what I mean?
And the funny thing is I've always wanted to do a duo set where it's like I have a DJ and I have just a guitar amp and maybe like a microphone and just do some electric, you know, guitar stuff with what he's doing as far as beats. Yeah. And we've talked about that, you know, like I'm going to get him out here again because we're going to do a festival that's pretty awesome and big, but I want to start doing some duo stuff because I think that would be just a fun way
yeah,
to just
makes a lot of sense.
You know, to play some music in a different kind of way for both of us.
Yeah.
So that is something that is on the it's on the four. We're foreshadowing it, I guess, mm-hmm. but it's ahead of us, right ahead of us, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I want to ask you one last question. How do people? Well, two questions.
Okay.
First, how did you come up with the name DJ Battleship?
So, I was in a ska band in high school. It was called Electronic Battleship, and I was the drummer. And we were a terrible band, and we had like three songs, and they were all terrible. But everybody like thought we were so cool, and so like we just like.
Of course, you're in a band. In high school, you're always cool.
So, I thought you really loved the game Battleship.
Yeah.
Which is what I was hoping
was
because I love the game Battleship,
yeah.
and I'm a little heartbroken, but yeah. I will forgive.
Yeah. And then later on. I was actually known as DJ Prophecy for a while, and I thought that was like really like hood, kind of like, and I wasn't too hood, you know, so I was just like, man, I'm like, it's like a really like, you know, it's like a basketball player, like, you know, street basketball player name, like Prophecy or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like, you know, it was like too much for me, you know what I mean, and like, I remember a DJ a long time ago posted something, he was just like, oh, like, if you have like a really long DJ name and you don't use your real name, like, you lose credit in my book or whatever, so I was just like, oh man, like, I'm just going to become DJ Electronic Battleship. And try to become like the best in Utah to piss this guy off.
Love it.
And it worked. And
well, let me ask you this too. Where can people find you if they want to find your music, if they want to find you for gigs,
yeah,
if they
want
to book you? And spell out your website, spell out the ways that people can find you.
Shameless plug.
You can get everything on djbattleship.com.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Okay, DJ, D, and then J, and then Battleship, BATTLESHIP.com. I have my Instagram link there, my SoundCloud link there. I have the upcoming gigs or whatever. I play a lot in Idaho, Four Corners area.
That's not that far from Utah, right?
Yeah.
Maybe six, 7 hours?
Yeah, I'm about 3 hours away from gigs up there.
Okay.
And then I play a lot in Colorado, too. And so, yeah, definitely. And there's I'm actually doing theme mix shows on my SoundCloud. And so I've been taking – I don't know if you guys seen Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah? No.
Yeah, but actually, there was an 80s episode that came out. There was, I can't remember what it was called, but there was, like, this really, it's like a psycho, like, tech drama thing or whatever, and I did, like, a mixtape based on that radio show, or on that show, the TV show. And then, I don't know if you guys seen Pirate Radio. It's with Bill Nye. It's, like, a British comedy about, like, 60s music and people playing, like, 60s music, like, out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I think it is.
It was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It was
a story about those ships in the 60s that they used to ban rock music, so they used to broadcast from the ships offshore so they couldn't arrest them in England.
So I actually took a bunch of clips from like old DJs from that time, and I made this mixtape called Pirate Radio, and it's 60s and 70s music that I remix myself.
Cool.
And then obviously
that's awesome.
Yeah, and so like I think I'm at episode 5 right now. I've been working with rappers and like people in rock bands like that, like artists, like all kinds of other producers.
Don't make me jealous, Cruz.
Yeah.
I'm right over here. Yeah. All right.
I mean, Utah's got a lot to offer too, especially when it comes to music, and I think that like that's kind of cool to, you know, kind of throw together like a little mix show, you know, for everybody, you know what I mean? And it's been doing pretty good, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, like, I'm kind of always looking for ideas and stuff like that, you know what I mean? But definitely, I'm influenced by film a lot, and I think that's what influences my DJing most of the time, too. Obviously, you know, I think it's Edgar Wright that directed Shaun of the Dead. And
I don't know.
And
I think you're right, though.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, but I don't know if you... Have you seen Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
That music... That movie flows so well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's like, you know...
I haven't seen it in a long time. It's like 20 years old, right?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And so I think it's about 20 years old. And what else did he direct? He directed Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
That's a great movie. I love that.
And that one flows, too. I don't know if you ever watched a movie, but like it flows almost like a DJ.
Yep. Yep.
So it's kind of cool watching those kinds of old movies and newer movies and stuff, you know what I mean? And definitely getting that.
Dude, Cruz, I'm so excited to jam with you. We got our rehearsal on Friday, but I'll announce it one more time.
Yeah.
It's going to be
plug the
NK
show.
Band this Sunday with DJ Cruz Battleship, with DJ Battleship, a.k.a. Cruz Martinez, and a bunch of other special guests. We're playing Sunday, June 25th, Willow Stage, 1:50 to 2:40 p.m. The other headliners are Tom Petty, Mumford & Sons, The Meters, Alabama Shakes, Weezer, The Shins, fits in the tantrums. I mean, it's just going to be one of the best music festivals in L.A.
I don't know. I never heard about him, but NK Band, yeah, of course.
That's right. See? Yeah. I like it. But Cruz, thanks for being a guest, man.
Yeah.
You're the shit.
It was fun.
Ronan, thank you for filling in for Eddie, man.
Of course, I enjoyed
it. You're the shit, too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see you guys here next week. I'm Nicky Carullo. We'll tune in next week. Yeah.
Yeah.